Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 29th, 131st day of the new year. Joining us this morning, simple country therapist Luke Quimby.
Grazie, grazie.
Have you been reading again?
Yeah, I hate this book.
Oh. Okay.
What happened to all the other good books anyway?
Yeah. They all got used up.
Give me that indulgent chuckle.
Yes. No, when you said grazie, I was thinking.
Whose brilliant idea was this?
I watched last
Yours?
Night. Easy. I watched.
Easy. You want me to be easy yeah, this morning?
Yeah. Okay. How about silent?
Oh, silent I'll do.
Sophia Loren last night.
Wasn't that lovely?
Oh, were you watching?
Oh, yeah.
With her
and I
son?
Both watched it, yeah.
Yeah, that was just
was
kind
lovely.
Of. It was interesting hearing. And we'll get into the quote. Some of the names of the actors that she had been with.
Yeah,
and it was like, yeah. I mean, Cary Grant
worked with them all the big ones.
Gregory Peck, and I mean names that you don't hear too much about lately.
Right. Well, it's another generation.
Yeah.
I mean, she was another generation for sure.
Absolutely. So it was just kind of fun for me.
It was. Fun
I thought I'd share my fun with you. Okay.
Yeah.
Your quote.
Oh, well, this is interesting, from S.T. Coleridge. Facts are not truths. They're not conclusions. They're not even premises. But in the nature and parts of premises, the truth depends on and is only partly arrived at by legitimate deduction from all the facts which are truly material. So if you want to get to truth, you start with the facts. But the facts
aren't necessarily
are not
the truth.
Yeah. Right. So they're the framework from which facts are, or truth is built.
Or innuendos.
Well,
come from.
You can do that too.
Yeah. Well, I'm.
I'm sorry. I just danced through my head. I can't say it on the air though.
Oh, good. I'm glad. After a couple of years, we do have that edit button thing
that
going.
That would be the silence part of the program once again. Yeah.
But it is interesting, and I don't know where the caption came from, but half truths and okay, is it you can't have a half truth, either it is or it's not. But misrepresentation of facts.
Well, pregnancy is not a half truth. It is or it isn't.
Yeah. But the interpretation or instead
or
of 100% divulging, you divulge 25%. Is it accurate? Yeah.
Right.
Well, is it a complete picture? No.
There's white lies, black lies, and statistics. You can take facts, statistical facts, and select the ones that you want to use. And that's just about bias and spin and manipulation. So if you're looking at facts, then to find truth, you have to look at a lot of facts, not just one or two or three.
I wonder how many folks who rely on facts also rely on the individual who provides the facts to them as their sole source, instead of taking the initiative and confirming.
The Koch brothers.
It could be the Smith brothers. I mean, just anybody. just do you do your independent resource and use that as a starting spot, or do you just accept it as is?
Well,
and go on your way, and then build your house up off of those facts. It may or may not be 100% accurate.
If you have...
Or complete.
Complete. If you have a bias, then you're going to pick the ones that support your bias.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Thank you. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of facts, manipulated facts, partial facts, is kind of an intriguing concept as we're in the middle of the budget season for local municipalities and jurisdictions. Yeah. And then you've got the situation where the facts change. Okay.
I didn't know that. Or
sure,
or they may not change. But it may be new facts are revealed.
Well, let's say the budget that is $100 million today, tomorrow, because something happens, is only 95.
Yeah,
or becomes 113.
Yeah,
facts change.
Yeah.
Okay. How does one build into their approach to facts that are typically black and white and non-moving? Flexibility.
Well, the first thing to remember is the old codex of people who are like simple solutions. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. Right? So one of the difficulties with dealing with facts, if you will, is that your position is correct. That they've changed, they move, new facts are generated, old facts lose their value. Historically, economically, socially, politically, psychologically. So one of the things that people have to do if they're interested in being flexible is learn how to ask questions. And then the second piece is they have to learn how to deal with the answer. So I tell people, if you don't like, understand, or agree with something, don't lock up on it. Ask more questions. It's the tell me more response. So a lot of people have a subtle bias of don't confuse me with more information. My opinion is pretty well stable. That's short form for don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. So at a certain point in life and living, getting a job, voting, raising children, you have to come to some place where you have values that you believe in and then a method or procedure for promulgating, enforcing, advertising, making those things real. So when a kid comes home from school and says, my teacher is ugly, and you smack him around verbally, or you shouldn't say that. It's always interesting when you're working with children when they say things like that, to say, what do you mean? Well, she says mean things. So, quote, for the kid, that makes her ugly, right? So now it isn't about social, physical assessment. It's the kid's own assessment of what makes a person ugly. They're mean, which is a nice observation. So when you learn that about your kid and they go, gee, look at that ugly dog. Why do you say that dog is ugly? Well, he's eating the little dog, which is mean. Yeah. So facts exist in context. And when you hear something you don't like.
What do you mean she's mean? Well, she called on me.
Oh. She embarrassed me.
Yeah.
What did she want? She wanted me to talk about the homework I didn't do. Therefore, she's mean. Oops. Now you got a real problem on your hands, because that kid can turn that attitude into a political agenda. Who shall remain nameless, whose initials are.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, it's. I would imagine that's part of the challenge is the definition of the terms that are used.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's mean.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to the end of it, well, no, that was called doing her job.
Exactly.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So all teachers are mean?
By definition, yeah, yeah. They do their job, therefore they're mean. Oh. And does that mean all kids are hostile if they don't do their homework? No.
I find it intriguing, you know, with getting back to the facts, some of the renaming, the pressure to rename anything that has any connection to anyone in U.S. history that was associated with the Confederacy. There was a story earlier this week that Yale had decided that they were going to keep John C. Calhoun and that building named, but the next building was going to be somebody who was involved with the Civil Rights Movement. Okay. Instead of going through and obliterating, knocking down statues, you know, some of that stuff that's going on, now we have the facts, we just put a different spin on the facts or right. interpretation on the facts.
Right.
Okay, and we're seeing a lot of, I think what a lot of folks perceive as defacement going on.
Yeah.
Just because it's kind of trendy right now.
And political correctness is like psychological defacement. Everybody's nice and good and sweet and beautiful, and we can't say this and we can't say that. It reminds me of a little kid. Mom said, Mrs. Jones is coming over for tea. And she said, can I help? And she said, sure. You can serve if you like. But don't say anything about Mrs. Jones's nose. She had a large nose. So the kid is serving tea, and she's pouring Mrs. Jones some tea, and she looks right at her and says, would you like one or two lumps in your nose? You know, fascinated with the nose. And you look at political correctness, and there are some things that are fascinating that people look at and they're not supposed to say anything about. They're supposed to look at it and act as though it isn't so, right? Well, that's a problem. So I always think it's useful to look at the facts objectively rather than emotionally. And after enough facts in context are looked at, then you can get emotional if you like.
It's 8:30.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Talk Shop presented by Redick and CDH Painting.
Good old CDH.
Have you used Dwayne?
No, I like him.
Oh.
I like his trucks. I like his style. I like his attitude.
You like him.
I like him, man.
Where does this concept that has been titled political correctness come from? I mean, has it always been around and just was never identified as such or referenced or giggled about? Or is it something that is a phenomenon of the last 3 or 4 decades? And why do people do this?
As far as I know, the political correctness is a phenomenon of the past several decades. The political schmoozing has been around forever, and that has to do with making, quote, everybody, unquote, happy. That's fine. Political schmoozing, I understand.
Or kissing up.
And yeah, right.
You know, right. For self-advancement.
But political
yeah.
correctness involves attitudes that involve millions of people that you haven't met, haven't seen, don't know. Whereas political schmoozing, generally glad-handing, is always face-to-face and face-to-small groups and like that. So you have to recognize then that the political, what I grew up with in terms of glad handing, was radio, and then came television, and television was reporting. It wasn't communication, political communication. But then come you and I and our generation, it comes Facebook and Twitter and Google and all kinds of communication stuff. And we grew up with three channels, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and now there's dozens of channels where people can do personal issues and broadcast everywhere. So political correctness then has a new audience, a new venue. They can talk to everybody, and it's an interesting way to manipulate about what people's fears are. Immigration, taxes, tax rates, foreign policy, who comes into the country and why and how, what their effect is, etc. So I've been watching this stuff and reading, of course, and there's always a new lower class in this country. There was the German immigration, then the Italian, and then the Catholic, and then the Jewish, and then the, and there's always somebody who's coming in who's at the bottom of the heap, and they collect the prejudice of all the rest of them that has gone through the struggle of integration, et cetera, et cetera. So there's always the fear of the unknown. And then if you have danger associated with some group or another, then you have the fear and the fact in conjunction with each other, and then people react badly to that. Particularly the politicians react badly to the fear and the fact when they're congruent.
When the Irish immigration was occurring, was it out of fear?
Well, they came from the potato famine.
Right.
So they came here in order to live. I mean, to
right.
literally right. to live, to have a decent living. So they came and they had to take all the crap jobs in order to live.
Right. Yeah, you're at the low end of the totem pole.
Yeah.
No question about that.
And then they integrate themselves, and then somebody else comes in, and then they're at the low end of the totem pole again. So there's an underclass.
But those, I would suggest that there have been some of those waves that have come through that are not, they're looking for opportunity.
Oh, yeah, and they make
more than taking advantage of.
Oh, right, exactly.
So instead of bringing drugs,
they're not bringing, yeah,
they're trying to plant corn.
Yeah.
Okay. Impact to the society is significantly different.
Oh, indeed.
Instead of trying to blow people up,
exactly,
they're trying to assimilate. Different age, different scenarios,
right.
Different groups.
And there was land aplenty and places to settle. And
some of those
and,
pressures and, that exist today didn't then.
Right.
But
and they did not
that,
have,
was that manifest similarly? Were
they
fears similar?
The fears are always pretty much the same. But the system is different. Now we have huge amounts of welfare. And illegal aliens, for example, can get all kinds of money and benefits. Maybe you've seen it go around on the email stuff about what a undocumented immigrant can get in monies, right? So they come with no job, and their kids get to go to school, and they get money for welfare. And if they stick around long enough, they can get Pell Grants and education and.
So with some of
so
the...
there's lots of money.
Some countries, you have to qualify.
Right.
Either with talent.
Or
financial
sweat.
Wherewithal. Or I mean, there's some element.
Some requirement, right.
Not just
being. I'm here, therefore pay me.
Yeah.
Right. And people start looking at the figures over time. I mean, you can suck a little money out of my wallet without too much objection. But when it gets to be bigger and bigger and bigger, and then I say, well, what am I getting out of this? And they say, well, you're getting a good feeling. I go, no, I'm not. good feeling is not a big payoff for me.
So to make comment about that, now you're anti.
Now you're anti.
Something.
And if you raise objection to that with liberals who are doing political correctness, you upset their feeling.
Well, there's conservative political correctness also.
Oh, yes, and their power and control. So mostly it's about power and control.
I think that that's probably the common denominator in a lot of this stuff.
Oh, definitely. And that feeds people's sense of self. And if you have an elevated sense of self, how things should be, then you're going to start exercising power and control in those ways. And you start finding more like-minded people like yourself.
So that you're not challenged?
So that you're not challenged, you're not alone. You got this army behind you. Then you can do real harm.
It's kind of intriguing, and I don't know if this is me just kind of paying attention, but my perception is that influence is now the key resource.
Yeah.
Not finances.
Yeah.
And I think historically it was the other way around. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, so if we're trying to avoid getting sucked into, either willingly or unwillingly, political correct speech, presentation of facts, partial fact information, what are some of those red flag warning signs that we could go, hey, you know, I may need to do a little independent research on this one.
Let's look at language. We don't have a national language recognized and enforced. You follow that?
Right.
Now, most people here speak English.
Most. Or similar dialects of.
Yeah. But we do not have a national language. And one of the things that makes a nation is a language. That's historical. That's correct. So you get a couple of things that establish nationhood. One is geography. They generally have borders based on rivers or land or cliffs or mountains or something. And a language. And then some have additional specific characteristics. But you start off with borders and a language. Well, if you start fussing around with political correctness about borders and language, then you start diluting the integrity of the whole body. You follow?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just checking whether or not yours. Short naps are killers, you know. You start messing with the integrity of the whole body. If you call, where is it now? Wisconsin? Michigan?
It hasn't moved lately.
Well, if you call, I forgot which one it is, but if you call the welfare number, they ask you if you want to speak Spanish or Arabic.
And I'm going, Michigan.
Michigan. And I'm going, say what?
So much for the language. Thanks for coming by, sir. See everybody Monday.